Building on Foundations for Eternal Life. Chapter 12, Passivity. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27 ESV. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Proverbs 14:15 WEB. A simple man believes everything, but the prudent man carefully considers his ways. End of verse. How does God want us to relate to Him? Does God want active cooperation from us, or does God want us to be mere robots controlled by Him? Should we exercise our wills and intellects to make wise choices and do right things, or should we just be passive so that God can somehow directly control us to do His will? From beginning to end, Scripture is filled with information that we are instructed to know and to act on. Scripture repeatedly finds fault with people for failing to actively follow God and do what He says to do. Nowhere in Scripture do I see anyone rebuked for not being passive enough for God to use them. Consider these verses. Psalm 9, 1-2, W.E.B. I will give thanks to Yahweh with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Psalm 119, 101, ESV. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. Psalm 119, 112, ESV. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end. Galatians 5, 22-23, WEB. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Proverbs 25:28 NIV. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. 2 Corinthians 10:5 NIV. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Colossians 3:2 WEB. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. 1 Peter 1:13 ESV. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:12-13 WEB. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Neither present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. James 4:17 WEB. To him, therefore, who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Ephesians 6:10-14 WEB. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. End of verses. These verses are calling us to use our wills and minds to actively follow God. They do not call us to a passive approach to spiritual things. A new section titled, Other Religious Perspectives. It may be helpful to consider the opposite teaching and practices found in many religions. Many religions promote the need to empty one's mind and to become passive to better connect with the spiritual realm. By doing so, many people hope to be influenced or indwelt by spirits associated with those religions. Scripture frequently refers to spirits that indwell people, other than the Holy Spirit of God, as evil spirits or unclean spirits. Evil spirits have already been discussed some in chapter 10, Spirits of Deception. In contrast, I am not aware of any scriptures in the Bible that call us to empty our minds or to not use our wills in following God. The Holy Spirit indwells all who are truly saved, per Romans 8:9. Salvation happens by turning to God in repentance and having faith in our Lord Jesus, per Acts 20:21, not by becoming passive. Often, a genuine born-again salvation experience occurs when a person makes an active choice to turn from sin and worldly things and to follow Jesus in all things, not by emptying oneself and being passive. However, some followers of Jesus promote the idea that an empty mind and passive attitude are necessary for the Holy Spirit to work in us, or to fill us, or to give us a spiritual gift. It is the experience of many people that doing so may open the door to influence by evil spirits, leading to deception and bondage. Consider these verses about evil spirits pretending to be good. 2 Corinthians 11, 13-14 ESV. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. 1 John 4:1 WEB. Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. End of verse. Regarding having a passive mind, consider Solomon's words in Proverbs 13:16 ESV. In everything the prudent acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. End of verse. Prudent people's actions are based on having knowledge about what they are doing, not having an empty mind. On the other hand, fools act without appropriate knowledge, and that results in folly. Let's now consider a few ways believers are sometimes led astray regarding having a passive attitude. A new section titled, Let Go and Let God. Someone has said, let go and let God. That has been a somewhat common saying for a long time, though it is not in Scripture. In a positive light, we can understand it to be encouraging us to stop trusting in our own effort and ability and to place our trust in God to help us through a difficult situation. That's good. However, in a negative light, some may understand it to mean to stop using their wills and minds to actively follow God, to simply be passive and simply accept whatever happens. That's not so good. A new section titled, No Longer I That Live. Here is a verse in Scripture that leads some toward a passive perspective. Galatians 2:20 WEB. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. End of verse. Some people interpret, it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me, as indicating that they should suppress their own consciousness and will, and instead somehow be controlled by Christ lives in me. However, this viewpoint is inconsistent with other scripture, as already discussed. It is also inconsistent with the same verse, since Paul also said, that life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. This suggests that Paul is speaking figuratively about a change in the focus of his life, not a cessation of his own consciousness and will. Later, in his same letter to the Galatians, Paul writes in Galatians 5:24 WEB, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. End of verse. This suggests that Paul's previous reference to being crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20 has to do with no longer living according to sinful desires. Paul no longer lives to satisfy his own fleshly desires, but rather to please God. That is a common theme in Scripture and involves an active attitude against sin. Paul writes more about being crucified with Christ in Romans 6, in Romans 6, 6-7 ESV. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. End of verses. Reading further in Romans 6, we see that this involves our active participation. Romans 6:12 ESV, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its passions. End of verse. So, we see that in Galatians 2:20, Paul is showing us the importance of being united with Christ in his death in order to die to sin and receive new life through Christ's resurrection. See Romans 6, 3-14 for more on this theme. Paul is not calling us to a passive life. A new section titled, It is God Who Works in You. Let's look at another verse that some interpret to promote a passive attitude. Philippians 2, 12-13 WEB. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. End of verses. These verses can be confusing. The first part, verse 12, instructs us to obey and to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That seems consistent with the emphasis in this chapter. But then the latter part, verse 13, says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Who is willing and working here, God or us? I think there are two ways to understand this. First, it is widely taught in Scripture that the Holy Spirit living in us gives us understanding and power to follow God and to obey God. Otherwise, we generally fail. This verse, Philippians 2:13, may simply be referring to the Holy Spirit working in us, giving us power both to will and to work in a way that pleases God, using our own strength and understanding and willpower to live in a way that pleases God. Alternatively, it could be understood that God actively helps us to will and work in a way that pleases Him, God contributing to our understanding and willpower to make right decisions, yet without controlling us like robots. An interpretation that is not consistent with Scripture is this: God alone controls our wills and actions. We do not need to exercise our will because God does that for us. A new section, walk in a manner worthy. Finally, let's consider how knowledge, understanding, and wisdom relate to not being passive. Paul wrote to the believers at Colossae in Colossians 1, 9-10 ESV, "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." End of verses. Here we see the purpose of having knowledge, understanding, and wisdom is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. We need knowledge, understanding, and wisdom because we are to actively follow God, not as passive robots with God controlling us, but as intelligent beings freely following God, using our own wills and intellects to do so. For further reflection, have you been too passive in how you follow Jesus?